Thank you very much, Yvonne, for taking us around the world and bringing things back here on Hard Facts. I am Sandra Ezekwesili. Every Wednesday, we bring you a fantastic new business show.
If you earn a living, you probably own a business, work for one, or want to start one. Business is central to your life. But do most business shows really speak to you?
Today on the show, the billion-dollar valuation of
Balogun Broad does. Let's talk about the stock market and Alaba market. Let's talk about share IPOs and diesel supply LPOs. Let's talk about Broad Street.
The Nigeria Stock Exchange recorded an all-time high of
and Balogun Street.
The maximum I'll spend on fuels on fro was 4,000.
On Balogun Broad, Wednesdays at 5.
Will the CBN's new cryptocurrency restrictions affect business and investment? This is the business show for you. We're not talking up hop here. On Balogun and Broad, we talk about how the issues in the news affect businesses of all sizes and the people who work for them. And today, I have some big conversations for us. Cryptocurrency. We've been talking about this situation since Friday. The CBN says banks and other financial institutions should no longer provide services to cryptocurrency exchanges or any other business working with cryptocurrency. Now, there's a lot of discussion about what the impact of this rule will be, because cryptocurrency has become a big part of the Nigerian economy, and Nigeria has become a big part of the global cryptocurrency ecosystem. And to highlight that, here's our business hard fact for the day. According to Useful Tips, trade in Bitcoin from Nigeria exceeded $350 million last year. So as you can see, lots of Nigerians are keeping a lot of their wealth in cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. But now the CBN is making access to crypto markets from the Nigerian financial system impossible. In its memo, the bank said that it was doing this because cryptocurrencies are, quote, speculative, anonymous, and untraceable. And so they expose the public to dangers of financial loss, as well as create room for criminals to hide their proceeds. And there have been mixed reactions from the business world about this move. We've had many challenges to the CBN's position, with arguments that range from the legal to the economic to the ethical. And it's all been quite interesting to follow as a newswoman. And part of the problem is a lot of the public don't even know enough about the world of cryptocurrency to know whom to believe. And so we're going to try to fix that here on Balogun Broad today. We have two experts joining us for this conversation. First guest is the editor-in-chief of Steers Business, Tokunbo Afikuyomi. Welcome back to Hard Facts, Tokunbo.
Hi, Sandra. Thank you for having me back again.
And my second guest is Finance Director Nigeria for Binance. Binance is one of the biggest cryptocurrency exchanges in the world, so they are directly affected by this new rule. His name is Emmanuel Babalola. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Good to be here.
Now, Lagos, we want to hear from you as well. Tell me, first of all, what you think about this new rule. What do you think about cryptocurrency? Do you own a crypto? What do you use your crypto for? How has this rule affected you? And also call if you have questions about the sector, because we have sector experts on the show today. Now, let me start with Emmanuel. Can you explain what exactly Binance does?
Yeah, happy. So we are basically an infrastructure provider for crypto, right?
Okay.
We own several businesses, including Binance Exchange,
right.
Which is where people buy and sell crypto. And our goal is to offer products that people would use. We want to be able to offer access to crypto financial services, from even student loans for higher institutions,
right,
to even buying airplane tickets, right?
Right.
As well as charity donations and all that.
Right.
So the possibilities are literally endless to what we could do in crypto.
Ah, I see. Last year, SEC made moves to treat cryptocurrency as securities. What did that entail? What steps did Binance have to take to be compliant?
Yeah, last year, SEC released a notice, classifying Bitcoin as a security, and I think everybody was really excited to see that. And, you know, we've been waiting for, you know, even more information as to the next steps from their side. But we are definitely ready to meet all regulatory requirements once they're in place.
Ah, oh, so they're not in place yet?
Yeah, so last year was basically a classification of crypto and some guidelines just to ensure that everyone is aware that, you know, we would have to do something with the SEC within the next few months after that announcement.
What were these guidelines?
A couple of them was primarily classifying crypto as a security, because before then, crypto didn't have kind of like a legal, you know, classification of sorts in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so classifying as a security, you know, brought cryptocurrencies under kind of like the jurisdiction of the SEC. So we have several, you know, stakeholders meetings that we've had just to engage and see how, you know, we can come up with, you know, all the necessary guidelines that, you know, would be necessary for the industry just to assist, you know, in coming up with this regulatory framework for the space.
Tokunbo, I want you to come in here. We've heard there's now a lawsuit challenging the central bank's authority to regulate crypto after the SEC has said that crypto are securities. Why is there this seeming contradiction in regulation, Tokunbo?
Hi, Sandra. Well, it's difficult because the Central Bank of Nigeria, you almost have to think of them as an independent institution from the rest of government.
So
by the law, they are almost, like I said, independent. And so they can almost decide, you know, what it is they want to do in terms of cryptocurrency. The issue is that cryptocurrencies, by definition, have many use cases. So you can use it as, you know, a transfer of you know, to do cross-border transfers. You can use it to store wealth. People use it for payments. You know, there's so many. There's 2,000 different cryptocurrencies, you know, or even more than that in the world, and they have many use cases. And so, even though one of the use cases, you know, for example, if SEC says it's a security, so treating it like an asset, that's just one particular use case of cryptocurrency, right? And so, if it goes into the space of people using cryptocurrencies to exchange naira for dollar, for example, the CBN can then, on its authority with the CBN Act of, you know, saying that, you know, you can't use cryptocurrency as a legal tender, it has that battle to say, okay, this is what we think of cryptocurrencies, regardless of what anybody else in government says.
Oh, on this topic, how has it worked for your company, Emmanuel, in other jurisdictions? Do other countries tend to recognize crypto as money or as a security or not at all?
Yeah, I think crypto globally is still something that, you know, every regulator is still trying to, you know, catch up with. You know, even the fintech sector itself is still very vast, you know, with, you know, regulations coming up every single time, right? So crypto is something that everyone is trying to work on. You see in different jurisdictions, as far as, you know, China has their own kind of rules where, you know, they put kind of like complete ban on crypto, right? But even they themselves are working on kind of like stablecoin, the, you know, central bank stablecoin project. But if you look at the US, for instance, you see they recently just allowed banks to custody crypto and also use stablecoins as well. So, you know, the regulations are depending on what direction to take. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, looking at what works for your people and trying to just make, you know, regulations around that.
The CBN first expressed wariness in 2017. And I'm curious what steps Binance and other exchanges took to ease the bank's concerns. Emmanuel?
Yeah, on our side, since inception, we have been full crypto regulation, right? In fact, we have ensured that we follow all global best practices for AML and KYC on all our Nigerian users. So we are kind of like, you know, ready for any regulatory requirement.
Tokunbo, the CBN has been on crypto's neck since 2017. You talked about some of the reasons why the last time they raised this issue, you know, these were some of the reasons that they raised it. But for the sake of the people who didn't tune in on Monday, what are those reasons?
Right. So, well, I guess there are two parts of this. There's the reason the CBN was saying publicly, and there are the reasons that the CBN is not saying. So publicly, they are saying that the issue they have with cryptocurrencies is that some types of them have an anonymous aspect to them. And so they are worried that people are using cryptocurrencies to do, you know, bad activities like, you know, transferring money to terrorists or money laundering. But that is the main thing the central bank is upset about, at least publicly. The part of this that they're not talking about, and I've been following the central bank for years now, and I know one thing for sure is that almost anything they do is related to foreign exchange. So whether they are telling people to stop importing food or, you know, banning exports or imports or loaning money to farmers, right? Telling us to eat, produce rice ourselves. Everything is all foreign exchange related. That is CBN's main policy. And here we're seeing that as well. So the existence of cryptocurrencies and these exchanges, the CBN believes is kind of messing up with their foreign exchange policy in that, for example, take the regulation they did back, I think it was a few months ago, where they said with remittances, nobody is allowed to receive the naira equivalent of remittances. They want people to receive the dollar equivalent of remittances. And what the CBN was trying to do there is increase circulation of dollar with normal individuals. So that was their goal. But then with the rise of cryptocurrency exchanges, that was kind of undermined because somebody could send dollars from the US to somebody in Nigeria and they received the naira directly, not the dollar. Mm. But the CBN wanted people to have the dollars to increase the circulation. So The CBN is worried and trying to, you know, capture remittances because after oil, mm-hmm. remittances is the second highest dollar contributor to CBN as mm-hmm. dollar supply. So it's chasing remittances. And so I suspect that this is one of the reasons why the CBN is chasing down exchanges.
I see. Lagos, if you'd like to join the conversation, you have questions for my guests on the show, please feel free to give us a call, 0700-993-993-993-0700-993-993-993. What do you think about the CBN's new rule? What do you think about cryptocurrency? Do you own crypto? What do you use your crypto for? This new rule, has it affected you? How has it affected you? And if you have questions for Tokumbo, if you have questions for Emmanuel, feel free to call in with those questions. Our first caller is Adegoke. He's in Lekki. Adegoke, welcome.
Yeah, Sandra.
Yes, go ahead. Good evening.
Good evening to the guests.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm also into cryptocurrency investment too.
Okay.
And also account holder with Binance too.
Okay.
I greet you, sir.
Hi.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Yeah. I like you said, the CBN is actually, I think they are scared. They are scared, really, and intimidated by the rise of cryptocurrency.
Okay.
Even all the things they are complaining about, money laundering, whatever, it has happened or is still happening with the fiat currency.
Mm-hmm.
It's still happening. So what are they trying to say? You know, so I think they should kind of liaise with the currency practitioners, professionals, so, you know, and then find the level playing ground, you know, because other countries too accept cryptocurrency, you get, and even some countries, even like China, that still banned cryptocurrency are still into cryptocurrency,
okay.
You know, and even many of these top government officials, I won't be in surprise if the CBN governor himself is not into cryptocurrency investment. Mm. Yes, I won't be surprised.
Well, we did have one of their directors say he doesn't know much about cryptocurrency. He doesn't know how it works.
Well, I don't think he's telling the truth. If you know, since you said they cannot trace the account. So maybe since he's saying that, maybe since we too cannot trace his account, we can't really say. So we can't really believe him, what he has said. So I think cryptocurrency investors and all that, they're doing the right thing right now to engage them and take them to court, challenge their decision. And they have actually pushed us into the way crypto started, peer-to-peer. And that's what most of us are really doing now, you know, to help ourselves. you know, it has really affected us though, but not that much because we still have ways out.
Thank you very much for calling us at Digo K 0700-993-993-993. You can share your thoughts via WhatsApp as well if the phone lines are not particularly easy to get through to today. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. We've got a tweet from NBA trader who says crypto can be used to track down terrorists and hackers since it is an open source and cashing out you need fiat like Naira and dollar, but I don't think the CBN knows this. Okay, let's talk to Ike. Ike is at the airport. Hello, Ike. Thank you very much for calling the show today. Ike, hello. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Sandra. Good evening.
Good evening.
And good evening, your guests. You know, Mr. President promised the other time that something like NSAC protest will not happen again in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So they are taking all steps. They're also suspecting that the sponsors of that protest must have sent money through cryptocurrency.
Okay.
So it's part of the steps they are taking to make sure something like NSAC protest will not happen again.
Okay.
Now,
hello? Hello, Ike? Ike's call is not connecting very much. But let me come back to our guests on the show. Emmanuel, how has last week's directive affected your customers? We just heard one of your customers on the line earlier on.
Definitely business activity unannounced, right? So people are not...
We can't quite hear you. Your voice is breaking up.
Can you hear me now?
This is much better, yes. Go ahead.
Okay, great. So I said definitely zero activity on our hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
People can't, you know, make direct deposits and withdrawals to their bank account.
Mm-hmm.
So it significantly reduced the access to crypto services across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, as you said, putting all the trade offline, where it's even harder to track and regulate.
Mm-hmm. Ah, I see. The CBN has said that cryptocurrency is anonymous and untraceable to Kumbo. But we've seen that in jurisdictions like the US, for instance, the tax authorities have been able to trace the owners of crypto wallets with the help of exchanges and charge them tax. Doesn't this disprove the CBN's assertion, Tokumbo?
Yes, you're right, Sandra. And, you know, a U.S. attorney last year made this exact point. I don't know if any of the listeners remember, there was a Twitter hack a while ago where some hackers decided to pretend like a few celebrities. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, send us crypto and we'll, you know, double it to this particular charity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Those hackers were actually caught, right? So mm-hmm. the U.S. was able to trace those hackers
mm-hmm.
and found them. And the U.S. attorney said they false believe. It is false belief that you can carry out that kind of attack and not be caught. So there are ways, and the U.S. is probably at the forefront of this in terms of tracking and tracing these agents, especially when they use formal exchanges. So I think the CBN is probably not quite there in terms of its ability to do this,
mm-hmm.
which is probably why it decided to take this approach.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue, Sandra, is that what this new directive does,
mm-hmm.
it takes us almost like 10 years backwards. So if you go back to like, okay, let's even just go back to 2016, 2017. The main way people were using cryptocurrencies was peer-to-peer. So on WhatsApp, Telegram, I'll send you Bitcoin, you send me money.
Mm-hmm.
That was how these cryptocurrency agents were operating.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's very, very difficult to track.
Right.
You can't, it's almost like an underground market.
Right.
What these crypto exchanges did is they formalized that. So they said, you know, come on our exchange, give us your KYC details, take a selfie, government ID, upload all of those things for you to use these exchanges. So it formalized that aspect. So by banning those exchanges, it's kind of gone back to the underground world where it's even more difficult to trace the money. I also want to address a couple of things that were said by the few listeners that I just called in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The perception that this was because of, you know, the NSAS,
mm-hmm.
I want to strongly, you know, default that because this is something that's happening across the world central banks are looking, you know, are scared of clamping down on cryptocurrencies regardless of protests or not, right? I don't think this was protest-driven. It was more along the lines of, like we've mentioned, you know, the fear of terrorism and money laundering, and more so the fear of, more the, I guess, the perception that cryptocurrencies are a decentralized finance aspect of it is a threat to the Naira. So imagine a world where everybody's using cryptocurrency and we don't use the Naira anymore. The CBN effectively becomes useless. They can't print these cryptocurrencies. Mm-hmm. So they can't change the money supply. They can't really do their mandate anymore because they don't control the money that people are actually using.
Okay.
So that's where central banks across the world are a bit, you know, touchy about this subject.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the way in which you deal with it that's the problem here.
Okay. Let's take a few more calls. 99.3. Hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Thanks for calling. What's your name?
My name is CK. I'm calling from Surulere.
Go ahead.
Okay, I want to make 2 points. Then I want to ask your guest a question.
Uh-huh.
My number one point is, there is a kind of a cryptocurrency called Ethereum.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that the person who developed Ethereum has a Russian background. He's a Canadian. Do you know what the Russian government did? They invited this guy. They hosted conferences so that this guy can teach many of other Russian IT guys how to mine. And, you know, Russia wants to have a place in the world of cryptocurrency because they found out that that will be the future of money. And they are investing heavily in it. That's one. Two, or rather, let me go to my question. I want to ask the guests, the experts,
mm-hmm.
is it possible that I'm in Nigeria and I'm sorry if this and I want to use a VPN
mm-hmm.
and to trade cryptocurrency
mm-hmm.
with other parts of the world while I earn dollars? Thank you.
Ah, thank you. Thank you very much for calling us. So who's going to take that question, Emmanuel or Tokumbo now?
Yeah, I didn't get the question clearly.
Is it possible for him to use a VPN to trade from Nigeria in other parts of the world?
I think you don't have to use a VPN, actually. You know, the biggest thing that I think we first of all have to know is that Bitcoin is very trackable, right? So it's not about trying to hide. That's even what my other colleague on the show just said, you know, because cryptocurrencies are very traceable. So I think you would only need a VPN if probably they blacklisted all the, you know, crypto exchanges and you couldn't log in to, you know, an exchange, right? So I don't think there is any need right now for a VPN, but, you know, it's possible.
Okay. All right. And I think he also made a few other comments, but we have people who are trying to call into the show. So let's talk to them. 0700-993-993-993. We've got a message here on WhatsApp. Good afternoon, Sandra. Okay, no, that's not what we're talking about. The CBN has a mandate to protect Nigerian banked population. So if they view crypto as hard to trace, they reserve the right to bring up guidelines. It's also important to know that guidelines change with time. For context, Baltimore County was hacked and ransom demanded in cryptocurrency. America has yet to apprehend the fraudsters until now. So imagine how Nigeria can track down any such. Nigeria is currently battling insurgency in many parts, and the financing of these dissidents is something that has been a huge challenge, Mark Paul says. So Kumba, what do you say to that?
Yeah, I think it's a legitimate fear. You know, that what the listener was saying,
mm-hmm.
because you do have... It's more sensitive in Nigeria because we have these money, you know, historic money laundering mm-hmm. and historic issues with security
mm-hmm.
That make this issue a bit more heightened. But mm-hmm. again, if you look at the numbers, according to some estimates,
mm-hmm.
$600 billion has been stolen from Nigeria's government in the last since our independence.
On that note, let's take a break. We'll come back and finish that thought. Don't go away, Lagos.
Nigeria Info.
earn a living, you probably own a business, work for one, or want to start one. Business is central to your life. But do most business shows really speak to you?
Today on the show, the $1 billion valuation of
Balogu and Broad does. Let's talk about the stock market and Alaba market. Let's talk about share IPOs and diesel supply LPOs. Let's talk about Broad Street.
The Nigeria Stock Exchange recorded an all-time high of
and Balogun Street.
The maximum I will spend on fuels on fro was 4,000.
On Balogun and Broad, Wednesdays at 5.
And today we are talking from Broad Street. Because the CBN has restrictions it has enacted about cryptocurrency. The CBN says banks and other financial institutions should no longer provide services to cryptocurrency exchanges or any other businesses that work with cryptocurrency. It's 5:33. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Every Wednesday at 5, we bring you a business show that is for you, a business show that talks about how the issues in the news affect businesses of all sizes and the people who work for those businesses. And today, we're talking about how cryptocurrency affects you. How will this new restriction affect business and investment? On the show, talking about it with me are two experts. One of them owns a crypto, well, not owns really, he's a director of finance for a cryptocurrency exchange. They're called Binance. They're one of the biggest crypto exchanges in the world, so they're directly affected by this new rule. And we have their finance director for Nigeria on the show. I also have the editor-in-chief at Steers. Steers Business is an online business publication doing amazing work. If you're a businesswoman, businessman, you are in the corporate sector, you want a proper breakdown of how some of these things work, you should take a look at Steers Business and see the work they're doing there. And Tokumbo and Emmanuel are here talking to us about this new policy and what it means for businesses. Before the break, we were taking your calls, we were taking your thoughts. I have this particular message here from Celestine Abba. Celestine says that his girlfriend has some Ethereum, but is finding it difficult to get a buyer and is asking if our guests can help out. He says, the new rules has affected people I know. My girlfriend is trying to sell her Ethereum since last week, but the order has been pending. Now she doesn't know what to do. Can my guests refer her? Well, I don't know that they can do that. And in any case, this is not the show to do that. So perhaps put it out on social media and see who will buy it. Huh? Okay. The number to call is 0700-993-993-993. WhatsApp is 80-959-75805. WhatsApp again, 80-959-75805. We've got somebody who says, this same China that the Nigerian government is copying to ban crypto transactions, they're testing their official yuan to crypto in a particular region there in China. That's a message from Ken in Amur. Sandra, please, I want to know the difference between crypto and forex trading. Pastor Daniel is asking. I think I'll let Tokumbo answer that particular question. Tokumbo?
That's a very good question.
Yeah.
It's a very good question because one of the things the central bank said was that cryptocurrencies are speculative.
Mm.
And that was one of their issues with it. But interestingly, the most speculative market in the world is the foreign exchange market.
Mm.
Some life years ago, I used to be a foreign exchange trader. And so there are people in the world, and I'm talking this is like a $3 trillion market daily, who are constantly speculating on the prices of dollar, yen, Chinese yuan. You know, that is generally what most foreign exchange volumes are doing.
Right.
People just trying to get a higher price, selling, you know, buying cheap and selling high. And foreign exchange is basically the exchange rate market is basically the exchange rate between two different countries' official fiat currencies.
Right.
Naira,
right,
dollar, official fiat currencies.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas cryptocurrencies are not fiat. So they are not produced by any official government. They are mined by individuals. And it's completely decentralized, meaning there's no central authority that owns or produces these cryptocurrencies. Again, similar to foreign exchange, they are also they can also be used for speculative activities. So people who are low are expecting to sell high. But again, there are different types of cryptocurrencies, and not all have that volatility in prices. So you have stable coins. So they can buy a USDT. So that's basically, you can buy the US dollar in a digital format, and the price of that just remains stable with the US dollar. So $1 is equal to one USDT stable coin. So that is not a speculative cryptocurrency. It's constant. It doesn't change in price. So not all cryptocurrencies are actually speculative, but Bitcoin, as we all know, is.
Emmanuel, if the CBN were to ask Binance as a condition for accessing the financial system to share data about what bank accounts are associated with or make payments into which Binance accounts and wallets, would your company comply? I'm asking that because the CBN said cryptocurrency is anonymous and untraceable. And before the break, I was asking Tokumbo about jurisdictions like the US where tax authorities have been able to trace the owners of crypto wallets with the help of exchanges and charge them tax. So if the CBN were to ask Binance as a condition for accessing the financial system to share data about what bank accounts are associated with what, with which Binance accounts or wallets, or making payments into which accounts or wallets, would your company comply?
Yeah, I think the overall idea of customer protection, even particularly for Binance, is something that we all share, right? It's one of the biggest things that I think any government wants to do. So, in fact, something we see even on Binance is that, you know, we do a lot of KYC and, you know, have a lot of AML tools that help us, you know, stay as compliant as possible. And definitely, the data are actually taken so that it can be shared with the authorities to the need arises.
Right. Okay. I have to come back to a point Tokumbo made before we went on that break where he was talking about $600 million or billion dollars?
Billion. Yeah.
Like bill or mill?
Yeah, bill. So, yeah.
Oh, all right. So $600 billion has been stolen away from Nigeria since 1960?
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
And yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, it was a very, very, very big number. It's equivalent to like last year's budget 20 times, right?
Yeah.
It's a very big number. And the point I'm basically trying to make is that all happened before cryptocurrencies arrived, right?
Right.
That was all done in the Naira. And nobody woke up one day to say, hey, this money that's being stolen is too much. Let's ban the Naira.
Right.
That was never an idea. And so cryptocurrencies in the same light have many positive use cases. People are using it, like, for example, there are businesses that if you want to buy supplies from China, say you're selling like machinery, businesses are buying those machineries with Bitcoin, right? So that they go to bank and find US dollar or Chinese yuan to make those purchases. They easily go on exchange, get their Bitcoin and then buy. So there are these use cases that are positive. Same way the Naira is ultimately positive for us, despite the bad agents are using to steal, right? So yes, there are issues with, you know, concerning money laundering and terror, you know, financing terrorism, and we should be scared, you know, for those reasons. The same way we're scared that people can steal money in Naira, but then depends on how do we then deal with it, right? And, you know, this show is more, you know, is geared towards the impact on businesses, and the impact on businesses from this policy is not even just restricted to the cryptocurrency space, right?
Okay.
If this policy came about through stakeholder engagement, you know, the CBN talked to the exchanges and said, can you guys actually help us, you know, track the agents? You know, if those discussions were had and they came to some sort of agreement at the end, I don't think people would be too mad right now. But the issue is, it feels like the CBN woke up one day and decided that this was going to be the case. And if you connect this to what happened in Lagos State earlier last year with the Okada ban, where we felt that similar situation where a policy that was had a significant effect on the state. It's kind of like just brought upon us one early morning, you know, I think it was the 3rd of February, right?
Yeah, February.
That, all of this creates an environment that investors, domestic and foreign, look at Nigeria and say, you know what, no, I don't want to invest in there. I want to go to Ghana. I want to go to South Africa instead, because no matter the sector I'm in, whether it's crypto, whether it's cassava, the government can one day wake up and decide, you know what, this revenue stream needs to go. And so that's how I feel about in general. it's not just a cryptocurrency problem, mm-hmm. it's a government policy problem.
I also have to ask you, Tokumbo, what are the ways to thread the needle and help government limit issues like crime without affecting legitimate businesses on crypto exchanges?
So I think it does the same thing it's currently doing with official fiat, with official naira, right? Mm. So the CBN, EFCC, etc., all these regulatory bodies
right.
have mandated that bank accounts are monitored and bank accounts have many KYC, know your customer. My colleague has been mentioning AML, so that's anti-money laundering
right.
procedures,
right?
The CBN has mandated bank accounts to have these so that the CBN can monitor any issues. The EFCC to can monitor any issues that might arise.
Right.
There is no reason why those types of procedures cannot also be implemented on exchanges, right?
Right.
So that's what my colleague has been mentioning on the show, that these exchanges actually already implement some of these.
Mm-hmm.
And globally, that's how there are already global laws surrounding these anti-money laundering problems, right, that Nigeria can follow. The ironic thing is that Nigeria is actually the leader in the cryptocurrency space right now because of the volume of trades being done. And whereas...
How much of that trade is legitimate trade?
That's a very tough question.
How much of that money is clean money? Hold on, Tokumbo. Hold on, Tokumbo, because Imana was saying something. Imana, let me hear you.
Yeah, I think there was a clean analysis report last year that put, I think, the amount of money that was illegitimate around, I think, 2% or so.
Oh.
You just need to confirm. But yeah, it's online, actually. The clean analysis is one of, I think, the foremost, forensic and, analysis companies that actually do a lot, around, putting stats and, figures on crypto activities.
I see. So, for all of that money, you've got just 2% that isn't clean money. When I get money for Nigeria, because Lagos, you have to remember that I said, according to useful tips, trade in Bitcoin from Nigeria exceeded $350 million last year. And you're looking at that number and you're saying like 2% is what, wow. You have money, God damn. Oh my gosh. Let me check one of your calls. 0700-993-993-993. You can call 0700-993-993-993. I have a message from Olaide Cruz. Who says, there are four classes of people who deal in cryptocurrency. You've got traders, exchangers, investors, and miners. I am a miner. There are millions of Nigerians who mine and not trade directly. If truly cryptocurrency is being used in illegal ways, why not regulate the process with NBFI? CBN is acting like errand boy with FBI. Would the US, UK, Canada, China, or Sweden close up their crypto sector because of fraudulent allegations? They will only investigate, provide measures to curb fraud. Why do we have a BVN if CBN cannot monitor how the transactions go to prevent fraud? 27 countries have legalized cryptocurrency so far, and this include the US, UK, Japan, and other EU states. Individual accounts and transactions are traceable in blockchain, and they can easily be flagged with local banks through BVN. Emefiele and his CBN are lazy people in office. They should roll up their sleeves and work to make it safe. Stop giving lazy excuses. Olaide Cruz in Victoria Island sent that message. Before I come to Tokumbo, I'm curious what Tokumbo thinks about the points that were made in that message. We've got Chris in Abara on the line. Hello, Chris.
Hello, good evening, Sandra.
Good evening, welcome. Go ahead.
Thank you. I support CBN.
Okay.
My reasons are told. One, it's a capital flight. The second is speculative. Thirdly, it does not support our free sector in Nigeria.
It does not support
free sector in Nigeria.
Okay, so keep speaking at this level so we can all hear you.
Yeah, it doesn't support our free sector in Nigeria.
Okay.
It's a capital flight. Money moves
out.
Mm.
And those people, where they are moving, they are using it to support their economy.
Right.
So this is just a plastic money. You can even create it. People will just be subscribing, and you are paying them interest, and you are using the money for your economy. So you're supporting the economy of other countries. So it's a cheap way of making money by the creator.
How is it different from stock market or forex?
Yeah, stock market or forex is because...
Or commodities exchange. How are they different?
Yes, that's why I say risk sector. Companies, float companies and use it for manufacture.
Mm.
Like before you put your money in foreign exchange, before you raise money in foreign exchange, what have taken what you needed this money for? You want to establish a company, you want to beef up your business, and the money will be invested in the company and used locally for business. That's how it's quoted in foreign exchange. So when the company makes good income, the subscribers, those shareholders, will be paid through dividends. But in this case, the plastic money, just people will now be subscribing. And then because the subscribers were like cheap money and without working, they'll be paying them interest, peanuts. So it's like a globe, blow. By the time it blows, those people will lose their interest. As they said, we cannot identify these people. We don't know where they are. Where is the company? Where is it established? Do they even offer any certificates or instruments that you are having the shares, except from playing through the internet, and you'll be looking that the money is appreciating. So it has no real tangible value. So what I'm trying to say, in essence, is a part of capital flight. They are defrauding the economy, our economy, because we are using our money to finance other countries' economy.
Mm.
So that's my own country. I'm a banker, so from our training, we are asked not to invest in any speculative investment.
Mm.
And any other people supporting it is because Nigeria, all those intellectuals supporting it, I'm surprised.
Mm.
Because it's not really supporting the economy.
Mm-hmm.
So our money is going out and people are using it without, it's just like siphoning. It's just like those politicians who are siphoning our money overseas.
I see.
So they are using it to make money.
All right.
Over there.
Thank you, Chris, for calling us. Who wants to take on that point, the points that were made? Were points made? Tokumbo Emmanuel, who wants to take on the caller who just called?
Yeah, I didn't really hear from my side, so...
Sorry? Yeah, okay, so Tokumbo, did you hear? Did you hear what the caller said?
Yes, I did. It was hard to hear, but I think I heard he had particular issues with capital flight and I guess us using cryptocurrency to support other economies. I think I heard a few things around that.
Yes, so capital flight, using it to support other economy, it's not the same as forex trading or commodities, because at least those ones are not as speculative, and this is just plastic. Somebody can create it and give it to, and you know, have other people trade on it. You can't, it's not tangible, you can't touch it. What do you think about that?
Right, well, I think the thing is, Bitcoin was created for peer-to-peer transactions. So it is helping the reason why Bitcoin is actually so popular in Nigeria is because of how difficult it is to move money in and out of the country. That is why Bitcoin is even popular here to begin with, right? Because there are all these restrictions, you know, PayPal, for example, you can't take money out of Nigeria, you know, using PayPal. TransferWise, you know, there are also blockages there as well. So because of all those difficulties, Bitcoin has now arrived as a cheaper and faster way to make international transfers. And these international transfers go both ways, because actually one of the major uses of Bitcoin in Nigeria is remittances. So people abroad, I say people, diaspora abroad, are sending money back home using cryptocurrency. And that's one of the major uses of it. So people are using cryptocurrencies to just do transfer in and out of the country. That's one of the major use cases for it. And because it's able to do that very quickly and cheaper than other options, that's also another reason why people are buying into Bitcoin, because it's not just an asset that, I guess anyone would say, paper in the air. It's actually an asset that has a particular use. There's a use to Bitcoin. You know, that's why people value it. at, you know, today it's almost at $50,000 or so. So that's one. And the second thing is, no country owns Bitcoin. No country owns cryptocurrency. So we can never be supporting any other country by buying it because no other country owns it.
But you have a huge announcement coming from people like Tesla about keeping large chunks of its cash in Bitcoin and planning to start accepting payment in Bitcoin. Why is it becoming so relevant globally? Why is cryptocurrency becoming so relevant globally? We've got 3 minutes to wrap this up.
Yeah. So I think that Bitcoin and blockchain technology has like proven over the past 11 years that there's a better way to view money, privacy, and data, actually. You know, so Bitcoin has literally taken its place as the money of the internet. The same way people are able to do chat online, you're able to send an email halfway across the world in just a second. Someone believed that it was also important to be able to send money or value over the internet. Today, you're not just able to send money, you're also able to send digital tokens, that things called NFTs. They are spent like DeFi. So there's a lot of innovation going on in the crypto space, right? And several institutions have now seen how Bitcoin, for instance, can be their head against the inflation going on all over the world due to the impact of COVID. So there is tremendous scope for Bitcoin, even in Africa as well.
Is Nigeria on the right or wrong side of Bitcoin, Tokumbo? Is cryptocurrency the future?
Yes, I very much believe so. I think if you consider the issues we've had with the Naira and foreign exchange, cryptocurrencies give us a way out of that. You know, if today someone asked me, TJ or Tokumbo, go and buy dollars, I would have to mention to someone on WhatsApp or, you know, going to my bank. But with crypto, I can do that instantly on an exchange and send money across. So I think that innovation is difficult to ignore.
What's next for Binance, Emmanuel?
I think definitely we are quite hopeful that we will probably receive further instructions from the government on what the next steps are, because every industry player is really just expecting something, you know, maybe a form of engagement, you know. I believe crypto really can put Africa in the main stage in this next fintech evolution. So that's why it's just important that we all engage and see how we can leverage and, you know, make this into something that we can really use, you know, for the betterment of Nigeria and even Africa.
All right, then. Let's take a break, Lagos, because I have to give you a chance to win 10,000 Naira. This is the part of the show where we switch gears. But thank you so much to Tokumbo Afikuyomi, who is the editor-in-chief at Steers, for giving us his time today. And thank you to Finance Director Nigeria for Binance. Binance is one of the biggest cryptocurrency exchanges in the world, so they're directly affected by this new rule. Emmanuel Babalola, thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us on the show today.
Thank you so much.
All right, Lagos, 10,000 Naira is all yours if you can call me up right now. 0700 993 993 993.